Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. MTSU celebrates Black History Month every February. This February being no exception, we have a calendar of events for your dining and dancing pleasure. All the events are open to the public. Most of them are free. We'll get into the specifics as we talk to Vincent Windrow, who is director of the Intercultural and Diversity Affairs Center and chairman of the Black History Month Committee. And this year's theme is At the Crossroads of Freedom and Equality, the Emancipation Proclamation and the March on Washington. We'll be back to talk about Black History Month after these historical words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are some of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. At the crossroads of freedom and equality, the Emancipation Proclamation and the March on Washington. That's the theme of MTSU's 2013 observance of Black History Month in February. A calendar of events is available at mtsu.edu/idac. 12 by 12, a national juried exhibition of small-scale works of art, is on display at MTSU's Todd Art Gallery through Valentine's Day. The U.S. artists contributing to the exhibit faced only one restriction on their work. It had to be no larger than 1 square foot. And remember, if inclement weather threatens to delay or cancel classes and events at MTSU, mtsunews.com/weather will provide the latest updates. And for MTSU News at any time, go to mtsunews.com.
Vincent, thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Jenna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
And thank you. We know you are an extremely busy man, and so we appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Well, good. Glad to be here.
The Emancipation Proclamation celebrates its 150th anniversary in the same year that Martin Luther King's March on Washington celebrates its 50th anniversary. And how do the events that we have on tap for Black History Month reflect those two mammoth events in American history?
Sure. Thanks for asking. Good question. Well, Black History Month was kicked off by the Dr. King celebration this past Monday on January the 21st. Abraham Lincoln, or an impersonator of Abraham Lincoln, was actually the keynote speaker. And so on Dr. King's birthday, we had an impersonator of Abraham Lincoln, the signer of the Emancipation Proclamation back in 1863, to talk about the proclamation and talk about the Gettysburg Address and talk about the issues and the context, the setting surrounding that historical document. And so now we move forward. But it's not just about the proclamation from 1863. It's not just about the declaration from 1963 that Dr. King declared that I have a dream. And now we're into demonstration. So we have a Emancipation Proclamation, which proclaimed Dr. King, who declared he had a dream. But now it's high time, as a matter of fact, it's past time to really talk about demonstrating the qualities and the philosophies that were inherent in both the proclamation and the declaration.
And some of the events that you have on tap reflect that. The Campus Sing, slated for February the 1st, Lift Every Voice and Sing, also known as the Black National Anthem in
Absolutely.
Some quarters. And you're inviting the entire campus community to take part in this, right?
Sure. In times past, Jenna, we were concentrated in one location, but this particular February we have student org captains who will assemble groups at 12:30 on February the 1st at Peck Hall, the KUC Knoll, and here at the New Student Union. And they will assemble people in those three respective venues to sing the Black National Anthem as written by James Weldon Johnson.
The Bob Marley birthday jam intrigues me because I just interviewed not long ago Dr. Mike Aleen, who has written the Encyclopedia of Reggae. He's a recording industry professor here, and he has written a very comprehensive A through Z guide to the uninitiated and the initiated.
Oh, wow.
About reggae. Tell me why you included the Bob Marley birthday jam in the Black History Month events.
Well, one, Marley's birthday is February the 6th. Secondly, Marley's music speaks to not just talking about issues, but doing something about the issue. Get up, stand up for your right.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of records that he made was really about doing something and not just having it in your head, but actually demonstrating what you thought about. And so Marley was a modern day freedom fighter. Marley was a liberator. Marley was years ahead of his time, and his music speaks to all segments of our population, even today. I had the opportunity for Stacy and I, my wife and I, to attend Ziggy Marley, his son's concert, several months ago, and it was just outstanding. And so his music it transcends color or culture or ethnicity or culture or country. It is a people's music.
Music in all forms has been a recurring theme throughout the history, especially of African Americans, hasn't it? A rather empowering and liberating force. We shall overcome.
Sure.
Or lift every voice and sing. Negro spirituals.
Absolutely.
It seems to be a recurring thread that has helped to move the civil rights into the forefront and push it forward politically.
Absolutely. And we can trace its origins back even to during slavery, when Swing Low, Sweet Chariot wasn't necessarily a song about Christianity, but it was about escaping the oppression of the slave plantation and heading up north. So the chariot was swing low, coming forth to carry me home. Well, home wasn't necessarily the heaven or pie in the sky rendition, but it was going from the abysmal conditions of slavery, the reality of being enslaved as a human, to escaping that and moving up north.
Follow the drinking gourd. Look up in the sky for the Big Dipper,
yes,
and you'll see
the
North
Star. Absolutely.
And that's how you get northward to freedom.
And that's how they could sing words that to the slave masters and the supervisors of that horrific industry, they could sing those words, which would sound like a gospel or Christian song, but were really signs and signals to those emancipators who are like Sojourner Truth or Harriet Tubman, who were coming back from north to take them back north.
The masters heard them singing and they heard the words, but they didn't get the subtext.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Smart indeed.
We'll be back with more on MTSU on the Record right after this.
The Tennessee Early Childhood Training Alliance, or TECTA, works to improve the quality of child care in Tennessee by establishing a statewide training and professional recognition system. Through TECTA, child care providers may be eligible for free orientation training, tuition support for early childhood academic courses, and networking opportunities, as well as other services. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Vincent Windrow, who is director of the Office of the Intercultural and Diversity Affairs Center. You are at a center now.
And I am very excited once again to be the chairman of the Black History Month Committee as well.
Which is why he is here today talking about MTSU's Black History Month events. National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day featuring activist and author Thunder Kelly. I did not know about this gentleman until I Googled him and found some videos on YouTube and that kind of thing. Talk a little bit about the way in which the subject of HIV and AIDS is approached within the Black community.
One thing that we want to hit upon during this particular presentation on this particular day is that Black folks are disproportionately dying of AIDS, and that we want to continue to educate, and we want to get more knowledge and information and prevention methods out to this particular community. And Thunder Kelly, who, by the way, his play "You Shall Live" has been presented twice here on campus a couple years ago, back to back years, is a wonderful presenter on the subject. His being HIV positive.
Why are blacks dying in disproportionate numbers?
One, I think, is lack of knowledge. I think there is some careless behavior, and so that's what he is going to speak to. He has spoken around the nation regarding this epidemic, or this pandemic, if you would, and so we are really going to grill him and open him up so that he can pour into our students the very real need to learn more and to do more relative to HIV/AIDS.
A movie called Night Catches Us will be presented in the Student Union Building Monday the 11th through Friday the 15th. You're running the movie every night that week?
Yes. Yes, Raider Entertainment, Rich Kershaw and his student group and staff were kind enough to present this movie throughout the week in the new Student Union Theater. And it is about transitioning from being a revolutionary to what modern day times calls for people to be about. And so it speaks to a group of young revolutionaries during the Black Power movement who find themselves and some of their tactics out of date. And it shows how they are able to transition into another mode of helping community.
So it isn't about sit-ins and marches anymore. It's about different ways of maneuvering within the political systems that exist in order to accomplish your goals?
Yes, yes, in a nutshell. Yeah. And how one does that on a personal level. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think there is a misconception that the civil rights movement is necessarily dead because the more visible aspects of it, like sit-ins and demonstrations, are fewer in number these days, and that it has more or less dwindled from the minds of young people, and there's no real top-of-mind cognizance that more needs to be done.
Sure.
They feel it, they sense it, but it doesn't manifest itself in the traditional ways.
Look at history. The Black History Movement didn't start in the 50s, or it didn't start with the Brown versus Board of Education. It didn't start with the Montgomery bus boycott with Rosa Parks and Dr. King. It predated.
Right.
So the Civil Rights Movement began just as soon as Black folk came to America and were enslaved. And so that movement, although it had its most visible manifestation during the 50s and the 60s, that movement started years prior and has continued. Obviously, it doesn't seem to be as televised, but it wasn't even in the 1920s and 1930s when Charlie Houston out of Howard began to assemble these groups of Black lawyers to begin to tackle inequalities and racial injustices in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. So it continues, but I think, like many students, our Black students here just don't have a good grip on history, and sometimes don't have an interest in it because they don't necessarily see the benefit of it.
They don't see it as relevant to what they are experiencing in the present
Absolutely.
Day.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm sort of concerned that some white people look at the election twice now of President Barack Obama and his inauguration for the second term on Martin Luther King Day and assume that we are already in the post-racial society because of that momentous event. How does Black History Month help disabuse them of that notion?
Well, one, I think many white people don't recognize that if we take the Civil Rights Movement as an example, the Civil Rights Movement helped as many white people as it did Black people. Not only were Black people held back or restrained or restricted because of the injustices and unfairness and hatred that was targeted at them, but the people who were hating and holding back and restraining and being unfair and unjust to Black people, they were being held back as well. You can't hold me back and go forward at the same time. You can't step on my toe and not allow me to go forward and you go forward either.
Right.
So the civil rights movement, for example, freed a lot of people to mature. So not only were black people being held back by this idiotic and mindless sense of racism and prejudice and discrimination, but white folk were being held back too. So now I think as we move forward, both races and all people are given more of an opportunity to bloom and blossom into who we were created to be, not in our own image and likeness, because we create our own image and likeness.
We'll have more with Vincent Windrow about Black History Month on MTSU on the Record in just a moment.
The Army ROTC College Program at MTSU prepares students mentally, physically, and emotionally to become leaders and promotes virtues of duty, honor, country. ROTC cadets are involved in all academic disciplines, athletics, and student organizations at MTSU. Full scholarships and tuition assistance are awarded based on merit. All cadets upon graduation will serve their country as second lieutenants either in the Army, Army Reserve, or Army National Guard. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking about MTSU's observance of Black History Month in February with Vincent Windrow, director of the Intercultural and Diversity Affairs Center and chair of the Black History Month Committee. We have a unity luncheon every year as part of Black History Month, and it's nice to see that that remains a constant throughout the years. This is all about cherishing people who work within their community to make it a better place, and they're sort of unsung heroes, aren't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I, too, am glad that this event has been a constant. The Unity Luncheon, as is the rest of the Black History Month calendar, it is evolving as well. We want to make what we do to be practical. We want to make sure that it has significance beyond a historical perspective, but that it makes a difference here in present-day times. Now, granted, what Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman and Booker T. Washington and W.B. Du Bois, what they accomplished was great. The more significant point is what they accomplished in the context in which they accomplished it. That's the real incredible thing, that they were able to overcome in a time when the system, when the odds were stacked against them. And so if they can accomplish what they accomplished then, what is preventing us from accomplishing what we need and must accomplish now? And so the majority of our activities is turned from just celebrating people who accomplished in the past, but taking those principles and applying them to our everyday lives, especially to the lives of our students. So there is a huge retention push, and necessarily so, in TBR schools at this very moment, whether it's community colleges or four-year schools. There is a great need for increased retention. And so what we're doing with the Unity Luncheon this year is to celebrate four pastors who have served their community with longevity and with sincerity and with productivity. We're bringing them in to necessarily and appropriately celebrate them and honor them. But at the same time, the message of that moment is to engage them, those pastors, their congregations, because our students attend those churches. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that they are getting a well-rounded message, not just about the Bible, but as it relates to how do our students endure? What wise decisions can they make so that they stand a better chance of being retained here, of their persisting through here to through graduation?
These pastors are people, I take it, whose counseling and or monetary contributions have kept students from dropping out.
Absolutely. One of the untold tales that occur in churches is that many churches give and provide not only a safe haven, not only a safe place, not only a refuge, but most often funds to help finance their education.
What about the Sister to Sister Luncheon? And the main speaker here is Dr. Donna Ford. This is targeting women, obviously, on Saturday, February the 23rd.
Yeah, it correlates with our retention theme, that thread that is sewn throughout this month. She is going to be speaking with female students of color who can be supportive of the black male retention rate here at MTSU? How do they fit in? What can you do to assist these males, these students of color who are finding themselves on the lowest rung of the totem pole as it relates to retention? We don't want to exclude them. We want to say you have a part in this. So Dr. Donna Ford, who is an amazing speaker, she is going to present a very powerful and compelling message relative to what they can do to help their fellow students.
Because with the student populations in colleges and universities today, the real retention and graduation issue with people of all colors is not with the women as much as it is with the men.
Sure. When we look at the student retention rate for black male students here at MTSU, for example, from 2004 to 2010, which is a six-year span, the rate of graduation was 32.9. which is abysmal.
Yes.
And so we must do something, not just as a people, not just as a community, not just as a university, but we must throw all we have at this rate to help students persist.
Which segues nicely into talking about the retention summit.
Absolutely.
On February the 25th. And I'm so glad you're bringing this guy to campus because my best friend who lives in Silver Spring, Maryland, has told me all about Dr. Freeman Hrabowski. She did so long before the 60 Minutes portrayal of him was aired on CBS. And he is a really remarkable, outside-the-box kind of a guy.
I tell you what, Jenna, that this was a great find for us, being able to bring Freeman Hrabowski to campus. His reputation precedes him. As a matter of fact, I was just in our Cope administration building, and one of the persons who works in the provost office stopped me and wanted to talk about him coming, his coming, because he has a nationwide, an international-wide reputation for these outside-of-the-box philosophies and methodologies relative to retention in other areas. He is a magnificent person, and we are so excited to be able to have him here.
He is the president, by the way, of the University of Maryland / Baltimore County.
Yes, absolutely. Has been there a number of years and has done wonderful work in many aspects of his administration.
And the John Pless Award ceremony is another traditional aspect of Black History Month here in which we honor an outstanding member of the faculty, and the award is named for an outstanding member of the faculty.
Absolutely. Dr. Pless served MTSU for a number of years, and appropriately this award was named for him, and we're looking forward to that committee to naming who that is. It's a surprise now, and we're almost sitting on the edge of our seats to find out who that person will be.
No, if we knew, we wouldn't say it on the air.
No. We wouldn't want to spoil it.
No, we want him or her to be pleasantly surprised.
Yes, yes.
And this is slated for Thursday, February the 28th from 4 to 6 p.m. And on the 28th, which is a Thursday from 6 to 7:30 p.m., we've got Brother You Rock.
Yes, yes.
In our new student union building.
It's a takeoff from our annual Sister You Rock, which most often happens during February. We wanted to present an event called Brother You Rock, as a way of encouraging our male students of color, as a way of inspiring them, as a way of celebrating them. You know, in order to succeed, most often people have to have self-esteem and self-efficacy. You must feel good about yourself and then be able to see yourself accomplishing those things that you set out to achieve. And so this is one way to celebrate them and to remind them that they are able to do what they have set out to do here at Middle Tennessee State University. It is not enough. It's not sufficient to be here. You have to leave here with a great experience. And that's what MTSU offers. But not only this great experience as it relates to activities and events and co-curricular activities and initiatives, but to leave here better than you came with a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. In your hand, which then builds momentum for the rest of your life. If you can graduate from here, if you can achieve this goal, you're able to look back years later and say, you know what? This present situation may be difficult. It may have me rocking and reeling, but when I look back at my years at MTSU and those challenges that I faced and overcame, I can win again. Students will be nominated based on leadership, based on academic prowess, based on their engagement with the MTSU campus community. They will be presented with awards. The honorees will be. We'll videotape messages from other male community people. For example, we look forward to having Dr. President McPhee videotape a message to the honorees and other significant contributors to our life here at MTSU to let them know that we are on their side and that they matter. I don't care who you are. One of the most foundational things that people need to know is that they matter. And all students matter to us here at MTSU.
And they need to hear that a lot.
Sure, absolutely.
Positive reinforcement.
Yes, yes, I agree.
We'll have more after one more quick break. This is MTSU on the Record.
MTSU's Jewish and Holocaust Studies minor offers undergraduate students a chance to study the culture and religion of the Jewish people and the Holocaust in an interdisciplinary program. Studies include history and culture, theology and philosophy, and the arts and social sciences. Courses tackle vital topics central to local and global awareness, including multiculturalism and the meanings of diversity, religious tolerance, and genocide. For the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
In our final moments with Vincent Windrow, chairman of the Black History Month Committee here at MTSU, it's been called Black History Month and African American History Month alternately throughout the years, but we're talking not just about Black Americans, but Blacks in diaspora.
Yes, absolutely. That was one of the things that Carter G. Woodson, the founder of Black History Week, now, when he founded it right around 1925 and 1926, it was called Negro History Week. Mm-hmm. And for our listeners who may not know this, Middle Tennessee can readily lay claim to being the birthplace of Black History Month.
Really?
It was in 1920 that Carter G. Woodson was in Nashville, Tennessee, speaking at the National Convention of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity, of which I am a proud member. Mm-hmm. He talked to those brothers in 1920 about this idea of making sure that people knew about Black history, Negro history then. Well, the Brotherhood was so excited about what Carter G. Woodson had just told them that they went out and founded National Achievement Week during February for every year. And so it spread out to all the chapters across the United States at that time. Later on, Carter G. Woodson came back and expanded it to outside of the fraternity. But it was in Nashville in 1920 that the Black History Month Week, Negro History Week, had its founding.
We will look forward to even more events than just the ones that we discussed here on this program today as days and weeks pass on, and there will be individual announcements about each of those events that are part of Black History Month. In the meantime, if people want to know more, how do they get in contact with you?
Absolutely. They can either contact me via telephone at 615-898-2831 or via email vincent.windrow, W-I-N-D-R-O-W, at mtsu.edu, or they can go to our webpage, www.mtsu.edu/IDA.
Thank you, Vincent,
Absolutely.
For being with us today.
Always a pleasure.
Same here.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.